Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
You see, the human desire for perfection is really a desire for God and for heaven. C.S. Lewis once said it this way, "The fact that our hearts yearn for something earth cannot supply is proof that heaven must be our home." We're constantly, this isn't the way it should be, this isn't the way it should be. We're constantly desiring perfection. Perfection is the measure of heaven, and it is the wish to be perfect that is the measure of men. The more you want life to be perfect, listen, the more you don't want there to be war or strife or stress or drama, the more you desire perfect harmony, the more you're desiring heaven. That is our desire. Now, there is a humanistic or atheist view expressed here by somebody like George Orwell. He says the essence of being human is that one does not seek perfection. Why do you think a humanist would say this? That the essence of being human is not to seek perfection. Why would you say that? Because you realize this isn't perfect, right? But you don't want to seek perfection. Because you think this is all there is. So what you want to do is you want to lower the bar. Good is good enough. And as a recovering perfectionist who's always seeking perfection, I realize that the best way to be miserable in human understanding is to want to be perfect. But let me just say this. Jesus did not hold to that view. As a matter of fact, he told every single person to be perfect. In spite of the fact that that's impossible. What do you think he's getting at here? This is the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." What is he trying to get us to do? What? Show what?
Show us our need.
That's very good, Ron. Show us our need for perfection and show us that the only way to get perfection is what? It comes from above. If something is good and something is perfect, we must go to heaven and say, "God, please give me this." The only thing that is good, the only thing is perfect. If you desire perfection in what is good, you must seek heaven. You must seek the Father of lights. I don't know about you, but I get tired of the fickleness of man. Men are fickle. They'll love you one day, hate you the next. They'll praise you one day, they'll condemn you the next. We're fickle. Is God fickle? No. God is not changing his mind. He is good. He will always be good. He is loving, and he will always be loving. And so I will say this. We are called in the Sermon on the Mount to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Our only hope for perfection is this. You have to be born of heaven. If heaven is perfect, if what is heaven is perfect, some of that must come into you. Does it come into us when we get saved? Do you have a Holy Spirit in you? I ask that question. Do you have a Holy Spirit in you? Well, if you have a Holy Spirit in you, you have perfection in you. The Spirit of God is perfect. Our job is to somehow die to ourselves to the degree that this perfection of the Spirit comes out of us. And let me say this. The only thing standing in your way of ultimate perfection is you. The way you think, the way you conduct yourself, your attitudes, you have not died to that. That's you. And you want to be you to the day you die. Well, good for you. But you will never be perfect that way. I don't want me, as a matter of fact. I have lived with me for 59 years. I got news for you. This guy's a moron. He's a jerk. I've seen him in action. He's a moron and a jerk. And I do every day, I try to get him out of the way. Because I don't want to be a moron or a jerk. But I will tell you, in himself, he's that way. He's selfish. Thinks of himself. I don't like him. I've never liked him. Maybe you love yourself. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you think you're the cat's meow, and that's your problem. What the Bible is ultimately going to tell you is you better have a healthy disdain for who you are. Let me give you the litmus test for whether you're on the path to perfection or not. Do you know what a litmus test is? It's those little things that we've been taking to find out if you have COVID or not. That's the litmus test. Right?
You stick it up in your nose and you put it in. You
stick this little tiny thing into something. And depending on what color it turns, depends on what you got, what's in your DNA, what's happening in your body. This color right here will determine. This is the litmus test. Do you want to see the litmus test of whether you're on the path to perfection or not? Because I'm going to show you what the context is of these verses. You get dipped in evil. You get dipped into a trial. You get dipped into the soup that is the sinfulness of the world. Let's see what happens when we expose this person to a little sinfulness in a trial. People that don't like you. People that don't care for you. This is the litmus test of perfection. Here it is. Jesus is talking about perfection. You've heard it said, you can love your neighbors, but you have to hate your enemies, or you should hate your enemies. And then he says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute. And here's what he's talking about, the DNA of heaven. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, who makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. The litmus test of perfection. How do I know that? Because here's the context. Do you love people the way the world loves people? That is to say, if somebody loves me, I'll love them back. Or if somebody loves me, of course I'll love them back. But you don't love me? You don't like me? Matter of fact, you want to hurt me? Well, I can't love you. Well, what Jesus says is, listen, even the world can love people who love them. So therefore, he says, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What is perfection? To love at all times. I said, what is the indication, the litmus test of perfection? You love at all times. Well, what if I come over here and give you a good whack in the face? Nobody's going to slap me in the face. I'm going to jump up and I'm going to fight. Failure. Who else do I want to slap in here? I don't know. I've always wanted to do. This is a... Slap Scott. I'm not going to slap my wife. I'll never hear the end of that. Jay's okay. I can slap him. He'll be okay. Litmus test. Let me see how you do with enemies. Let me see how you do when people are persecuting. Let me see how, because even the mafia can love people that love them. That's no test. Let me put people in front of you that don't like you and see if you can love them. In order for you to acquire perfection, you have to acquire real love. That's what Jesus was getting at here in this verse. You want to be perfect? You want to be like your heavenly Father? Well, here you go. Love at all times. Remember the guy that comes to Jesus, his rich young ruler, and has obeyed all kinds of laws, and Jesus talks to him about perfection. He says, if you want to be perfect, here's what you have to do. You have to sell everything you have to have, everything you have, and come follow me. Now, we look at this verse and we go, oh, I see what's going on here. In order to love God, you have to get rid of all your possessions. No, absolutely not. That's never the litmus test. You remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He says, before I get to that, let me just say how I know that giving everything away is not the requirement for perfection, because it says in 1 Corinthians, it says, if I give away all that I have, but I have not love, nothing. Giving everything away means nothing. What Jesus is getting to here is no one can serve two masters. I'm going to put your love for God and your love for money side by side. And I'm going to ask you to choose one or the other. I'm going to do exactly with what I said in the Beatitudes. You can't serve one. You either love the one and hate the other. You can't do it both. So I'm going to give you a choice, rich young ruler. Do you love me enough to just follow me, or do you love your wealth? It's always a case of love. It's always a case of love. What do you love? What is your passion? The perfection of heaven is all about love. And let me just put it to you this way. Love is not your birthright. In other words, love is not what is in you right now. Love, perfect love, must come down from heaven. Here's the way the Bible puts it in Romans 5:5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The only thing in you that really loves the way God loves is the Holy Spirit within your heart. And if you're too busy being you, you will never get to this place where that love that God has put in your heart can come out to other people. Humanism, secular, they believe this. Humans are basically good. And I am here to tell you that the Bible completely and emphatically says absolutely, positively not. Humans are the selfish, are the most selfish, the most egocentric, the most thinking about themselves. That's all they do. The Bible says in Romans, there's no one righteous, no, not even one. The Bible says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Humanity is one big human soup of sin. And you're all in it. And we're swimming around trying not to kill each other. Trying not to get so offended that I can't love. Because somebody didn't love me, I can't love them. The Bible makes it abundantly clear. Apostle Paul says, I know that there is nothing good in me. I've seen myself. There's nothing good in the... I've looked into the depth of my being. There is nothing good down there. That is to say, my flesh. Jesus says, there's no one good. We're all in that human soup of sin and depravity. Voltaire, another humanist, says, perfect is the enemy of good. What is he trying to say? When we strive for perfection, we realize we're no good. When we match ourselves up against heaven, we realize we're sinners. But if we lower the bar, good is enough. The opposite is actually true. Good is the enemy of perfection. If you think you're good, then you'll never go for perfection. I'm a pretty good person. Well, pretty good doesn't mean anything. I'm not as bad as the next guy. That doesn't mean anything. That's why Jesus says, can you love your enemies? Then you're getting there. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is to do the things that is almost impossible to do. In this human soup of imperfection, everyone is evil, including us. Do not think you are righteous. You're not. You're in this. That is to say, in your flesh. Human love is not good enough. We must look to God for real and perfect love. Just in case you think I'm being too bad on humanity or too harsh by calling us evil all the time, if you think that's a little harsh, let me ask you to complete this sentence. This is Jesus in Matthew 7:11. If you then who are blank, does anybody know what's in there? Evil. He lumps everybody together. If you then who are what? Evil. If evil people know how to give good gifts to their children, I'll be honest with you, we love to make our kids happy. Well, why do we love to make our kids happy? Because it makes us happy for them to be happy. And we don't want our kids to be disappointed. And we want the feeling that we're good parents. And we want the feeling that we've done so. But ultimately, we're evil, even though we know what a good gift looks like. So Jesus says this. When he calls us evil, then he says this. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? We're back to prayer, and we're back to saying the only way I can have good is by asking God to give me good. Can I ask you a question? When this says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things? Let me ask you, how much more? If we're evil, we know how to give. How much more? If you ask God for a good gift, how much better is it? 10 times better? 100 times better? How about infinitely better? Everything that I get from my Heavenly Father is infinitely better. Every good gift comes from above. The perfect love that I'm yearning for, that I'm looking for, must come. Everybody on earth wants to be a victim. Everybody's a victim. Somebody hurt me. Somebody did this bad thing against me. This, that, the, we're all victims. Somebody attacked. We're all victims. Guess what? We're not all victims. We are simply sinners who are constantly perpetrating sins on one another. If I said to my wife, dear, I have never hurt you. What do you think she's going to say to me? You have a very bad memory. I have never done anything against you. And this is the woman I love, right? So if this is the woman I love, who I've perpetrated things against, who I've done things that are, what chance do we have of people we don't love deeply? We are all perpetrators. We are all victims, yes, but we're all perpetrators as well. We shouldn't have a thing say, oh, I'm the victim. No, no, you're a sinner, saved by grace. And I just want to close real quickly with two prerequisite steps toward perfection. First of all, yes, yeah, we have to know this, that we're in a world of sin. If we're going to get anything good, it's got to come from heaven, yes. But then first and foremost, maybe, you have to see that you are a sinner, that you're not the righteous one. You're not a victim. See, the Pharisee walks in and he's a victim. I thank God I'm not like those other people. Those other people who do all those bad things. I thank God I'm not like them. I'm the good guy. I'm the victim. I'm not an extortionary. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm a good guy. Well, good is the enemy of perfection. The only way really to be perfect is to be like the tax collector, who wanders in and simply says, be merciful on me, I see it, I see it, I'm a perpetrator. I'm a sinner. I'm not the victim. I'm the perpetrator. The holiness of God is way up here, we're way down here. The only way to be justified before God is to see the distance and to humble yourself. This is what Jesus said of the tax collector. He humbled himself. He saw that he was a sinner. Therefore, God justified him. That's step one. I don't go through the world thinking I'm the victim of other people. I am only seeing myself as a sinner. And that leads me to the second point of perfection. Confess your sins and forgive others their sins. Here's what Jesus said. He says, forgive us our debts. This is the Lord's Prayer. He doesn't say forgive us our sins. He doesn't say forgive us our trespasses. He says, forgive us our debt. What is a debt? Real quickly, what is a debt? Last verse. Something you owe. Forgive me what I... What do you owe God? What do you owe God? What do you owe other people? Because that's what you're asking for. Forgive me for what I owe. What do you owe God? What's the first commandment? We're back to this. Love. I have to love the Lord with all my heart. And when I don't love the Lord, when I don't give the Lord all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, I'm in debt. When I don't love my neighbor as I love myself, I'm in a debt. All the laws of the Bible summed up in loving God, loving my neighbor. It's all love. To be perfect, you have to learn how to love. That's it. How am I absolutely, positively sure that this is the debt he's talking about? Listen, Romans. Owe no one anything except to love each other. The only thing I owe you is my love. I owe it to you to love you. You slap me, I still owe you love. You hurt me, I still owe you love. I owe it to you. And then I recognize that I am a perpetrator, but I also recognize that you're not loving me the way I should be loved. And you're not giving to me what I need. So I guess we're even. Forgive me, Lord, as I forgive my debtors. Let's pray. So you want to be perfect? No, I'll change it. So you're called to be perfect. Well, get on your pogo stick. You got a lot to do. Or maybe I should say it this way. Get off your pogo stick. Fall on the ground and cry out for mercy, because you are a sinner. And the only way you're going to love anybody is by that love of God that has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And you've got to learn to tap into that. Because if you're always the victim, if you're always the good guy or the good girl, and everybody else is the problem, you'll never make any progress. You have to see yourself for what you are. Have mercy on me, Lord God. I am a sinner. Forgive me for hurting others. And I will forgive everyone who has hurt me. It's the only way we're going to get by. Love.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.